think someone needs to turn right on the old sat nav has come through. But anyway, tonight we are continuing our series on the armor of God. So it was teed up by Paul last Sunday. And so for the next five or six Sundays, various preachers from within the fellowship will be looking at a different part of the armor. So it's me this evening. But I don't have to make a case for this, but we, as Christians, are in a battle. We are in a battle. And that battle, you could say, is the world, the flesh, and the devil, which are all around. And Ephesians 6 reminds us of the battle. But note verse 12, whereby he clearly points to what the battle is. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So primarily, the battle we face is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight, as it says in Scripture, in the heavenly realms. So we have to be strong, but not in ourselves, but we have to be strong in our dependence and our confidence in our God. The battle is against the devil and his schemes. And this picture language that Paul uses of the armor is very helpful for us, because picture language is something that we can all relate to, and we can all, and it helps us as we work out what it means to take up and to battle, as it were, against Satan. And this battle and the armory is language that Paul and imagery that Paul would have found as he was in prison, as he would have looked at a Roman soldier. But also he would make reference to maybe Isaiah 59, 16 and 17, as it describes God as a warrior. So this evening we're just going to take one part, as it says on the screen, one part of the armor, which is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. As it says, stand firm with the belt of truth. And this belt holds the rest of the armor together. It gives it structure, it gives it stability, and it is the key part of the armor as it takes battle. The armor, as I said, is essential for keeping the belt is the essential part for keeping the armor together. But the first item, like I said, we need to remember is that Satan will come to us with lies. That is the way that he will attack us. And we only have to look at the third chapter of Genesis to see how Satan works. In Genesis chapter 3, whereby Adam and Eve in the garden, who had that perfect relationship with God, it was Satan through the form of a serpent, a snake, who lied and made them doubt God's goodness. And then going fast forward into the New Testament, we get our Lord Jesus himself as he was led into the wilderness following his baptism by the Holy Spirit, whereby he encountered Satan three times with three temptations. Each of those temptations with it had lies. So So let's not beat about the bush this evening. Satan is the king of lies. He is a liar. He will do all he can to take our faith. As we heard last week, he will attack our spiritual life. He will take and he will try and take away from our Lord Jesus. He will want us to backslide and even to commit apostasy, to literally walk away from our Lord. That's what he wants. He wants to rob us of our salvation privileges. He wants to take away our joy. He wants to take away our assurance. He wants to take away our peace. And he wants to take away our blessedness. You know, he wants to make us miserable, fearful, doubtful, and discouraged. That's what he wants. He wants to cripple us spiritually. And he wants us to stop living a joyful, meaningful Christian life. And he certainly doesn't want us to talk to others about our Lord Jesus. And so we found out and we reminded ourselves, didn't we, last week, he will put things in our life that will promise us so much, and yet there will be compromise, which will mean that our faith will be lessened, our witness at best will be worsened, and we will be negative. We will look away from our Lord and see in our identity in him. And our fellowship, not just with our Lord, but with each other, will be spoiled. The unity that we enjoy will be harmed and spoiled. So this is why we need to wear the armor. But for tonight's purpose, this is why we need the belt of truth. To counteract Satan and the lies that he will put in all of our ways. And there will be all kinds of lies that he will put. Lies about our past. Lies about our presence. Lies about what might happen in the future. But he will make the main thing ways to take us away from our faith and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this evening, as we look at the belt, I just kind of wanted to keep the imagery there. I've got a belt on this evening. It was on the last hole, but I've had a big lunch, so it's kind of moved a little. But I want us this evening to look at the belt, but to use the imagery of the holes in a belt. This part is not in the Bible, but it just might help us think about the holes. So we are going to look at four holes. Hole number one. This is how we respond to Satan and his lies. Hole number one, look to Jesus. You see, he is near you, not just when you are with Christians, not just when you're on your own, not just when you feel close to Jesus. He is with you at all times. Famous last words of Jesus, listen to these words. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, Many of us have heard sermons on the Great Commission. Jesus has all the authority. Amen. Jesus sends us out. Amen. But that last bit we forget. I am with you sometimes. No. I am with you always. When does he go away? Never. To the very end of the age. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. So, whole one, look to Jesus. What a promise that is, that he will be with us always. See, we're not just to look to Jesus in the tough times and through the storm. Often there's a correlation, isn't there, between sinking in our faith and taking our eyes off Jesus. So the example that I was thinking of was in Matthew 14, when Peter is walking on water. When he was focused on Jesus, he was able to do the impossible. But when he looked at his circumstances, the wind and the waves, that's when he began to sink. In those times of unbelief and doubt, we can sink. Now, that doesn't mean the circumstances will change, but when our eyes are on Jesus, our perspective is very different. And the prayer that we can pray is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And the Lord loves those prayers. We sang a song just now, didn't we? And one of the last verses was this. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. That's the hymn. And this is what it said. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its light and power. That's a promise. Let's live it. Let's make Jesus our captain. Not just when things are going well. Let's make him our captain before the storm. Let's make him our captain during the storm and through the storm and at the other end of the storm. See, in warfare, the soldier looks to the captain who directs and gives the charge. I love Bible promises. We all do. Great, makes us feel good, doesn't it? It's kind of like a little bit of a motivator. Here's a promise from Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble. That's a nice promise, isn't it? That's not one that you put on a poster and put a little cuddly bear next to it. Hard, isn't it? It's hard to hear those words, in this world you will have trouble. It's tough because we all shirk away from trouble. And in the trouble, in the storm, in the battle, the noise in our head, the noise around us, whatever that might be, can sometimes be too much. The Bible's encouraging. We know the Bible is encouraging. But it's encouraging because there are people in the Bible just like you and just like me. People who are angry, people who doubt, people who question and ask the question why, people who say, where are you, God? People like you and me. Listen to these words. Psalm 116. King David. He's pretty strong, isn't he? He's got it together. I trusted the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? He's angry. He's thinking, why? Why are there enemies? Everyone is a liar. He holds on to salvation. Doesn't seem to be a hopeful situation for him in his warfare. And yet he looked and he said, following those words, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters this evening, soldiers of the Lord, when those lies come your way, when the battle commences, when you go through those storms, look to Jesus. Hold to. Preach it. Preach the gospel to yourself. See, the truth of the gospel isn't something that we heard many years ago and we responded in repentance and faith. The truth of the gospel is for you today and will be with you until you die. The truth of the gospel is that none of us deserves God's saving love. The truth of the gospel reminds us that no one deserves anything. The truth of the gospel reminds me and reminds us that it is God who sent him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Preach the gospel to yourself. What does that look like? Let's make this practical. Sometimes you cry the gospel. Sometimes you're in your car and you're shouting the gospel. Sometimes you're in wherever that quiet space is and you hold on to the gospel when life seems to be out of control. You shout it. You sing it. That's why we need to sing hymns and songs that are full of the gospel. Because if they're not, they're not going to help us on a Wednesday afternoon when we feel like we're sinking. We recall what we sing. So sing the gospel to yourself. Pray the gospel. Find that space. Used to be a mountain for me. I'd shout to the sheep, literally. I'd preach to the sheep. None of them were saved, but I would preach to the sheep. But find that space where you can, when there seems to be lies all around us. Okay? You might not be a loud person. Whisper the gospel. Find that space. Find that place where you can preach the gospel to yourself. You might think, Tim, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I run out of words. You know, I've prayed what seems like 20 minutes. I look at my watch and it's like 1 minute since I started praying. Pray the gospel. Pray the words of Scripture. Take the Bible. Read the Bible. But instead of the general, make it personal. Let me give you an example. God shows his love for Tim in that while Tim was a sinner, Christ died for Tim. Romans 5:8. Tim's not in Romans 5:8, you understand. But Tim is part of the problem, but also Jesus makes himself and dies for Tim. The wages of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a great promise for us this evening. God has given us this gift of God. See, in the storm, in those moments when we have the lies thrown our way, we need to remind ourselves and preach to ourselves that we are more than here and now people. We preach to ourselves that this world is not all we have. that one day all the wrongs that no one else sees and the injustices that happen, one day those wrongs will be put right. There is no condemnation for Steve, for Dan, for Louise, for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a good one. No condemnation when the world, when Satan tells us of all of our past, we tell him of his future and we remind ourselves that all that we have in Christ Jesus. There are stacks of verses that we could use this evening. What's on your heart? All sorts of things sometimes, not always great. But when we take scripture here this morning, sweet as honey and pure gold, that's hole two of the belt of truth. Hole three, pray the gospel. Pray the gospel. So, Proverbs 3:5, we lean not on our own understanding. The captain goes with you everywhere, the Lord Jesus. He is not in the bunker. He's not at the back. He's leading. He's leading on the front line. He knows all about us. He knows our situation. He's been tempted. He's struggled. He knows the kind of people that we work with. He knows the people that we rub shoulders with. God was not distant. God came in the form of our Lord Jesus. And he knows what it is to go through these things. So preach it, but pray the gospel too. Speak of those tough times. Speak of the loneliness. Because he is always there. What a friend we have in Jesus. Give thanks as you pray. Be specific in your prayers. Because trouble is, often our prayers are so general that when we reflect on giving thanks, our thanks can be very general too. So pray the gospel. Pray the truth. Pray the truth that although life can be uncertain and we can have doubts, we trust our Lord Jesus, who is there with us. He is on our front line. He is there leading the way. Hole four, strength in times of weakness. So we are called to stand, to put on the full armor of God. But remember, Jesus put on the armor before us. As you look through that full armor, and we see what each of those armors are. I don't want to spoil it for the next few weeks, but we look at Jesus, who was the ultimate truth, as we look at the belt of truth tonight. If we want to not know what truth is, look to Jesus. If we want to know what it is to be righteous, as we look next week at the breastplate of righteousness, look to Jesus. If we want to know what peace is, to live at peace and to show peace to others, look to Jesus. If we want to see faith, we look to Jesus, who was perfect. Salvation, the Word of God, all these things, we look to Jesus, who faced Satan full on at Calvary as Satan thought he had won the day. But death and sin was not the end. Sin was at the end, rather, but death was put to death, literally. And we see Jesus defeating Satan as he resurrected on Easter Sunday. The war is won, but the battle still continues for all of us, doesn't it? Listen to these words from Ligonier Ministries. The belt of truth belongs to him who said, "I am the truth." Jesus always lived and spoke the truth. He is truth incarnate. He came into a world of lies to deliver a people so that they may be lovers of what is true. He unites to himself a people whose mouths will be full of the truth of God's word. The belt enables a soldier to move quickly and unhindered. In the same way, the truth of God's word enables believers to fight against the wiles of the devil unhindered. Every step that Jesus took was a step forward in the defense and propagation of the truth. So this evening, let's remember Christ, who wore the armor, who wore the belt, who showed what it was to live in the truth. And let's use those four holes this evening as we have Satan on us every day, who will remind us, fill us with lies, fill us with things that will take us away from our Lord. And let's respond with those four holes of the belt of truth. Well, we're going to take communion in a moment, so I'd like to invite those leading and serving in communion forward. Before we do, I'd just like to pray, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know we are in battle. We know that this world is tough, that in this world we will have trouble. We know that Satan throws lies at us, but often, or sometimes at least, we can believe the lies. But Father, this evening we pray that we would wear this belt of truth, that we would preach the gospel to ourselves, that we would pray the gospel to ourselves, that we would look to Jesus, our captain, and remind ourselves that he is with us always till the very end of the age. Thank you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.